Well, good morning once again, friends. Welcome to Firm Foundation Christian Church. We have an exciting day today. We're doing some baptisms the Bible way. We don't baptize babies as the uninformed do, but we baptize believers by way of immersion, and it's really an exciting step, an exciting thing to see when folks step out in obedience and proclaim their faith in Jesus Christ publicly, what he's done for them before the assembly. Our scripture text this morning is taken from the book of Acts. It's a compound text, Acts 2:37 and then Acts 7:54. So Acts 2:37 says this: "Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, 'Men and brethren, what shall we do?'" And then we read in the book of Acts chapter 7 in verse 54, "When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart and they gnashed at him with their teeth." So the title of our message this morning is "They were cut to the heart and then what?" We see a couple of different responses to the Word of God and the conviction that it brings. Two different groups of people heard the great gospel of Jesus Christ. Both Peter and Stephen were men of great faith, in close communion with God the Father, through God the Son, and in God the Holy Spirit. Both Peter and Stephen presented the inspired message of the gospel. It wasn't as if Peter had the secret formula that people listened and responded a certain way and Stephen didn't. There's nothing wrong with the word. The problem was with the hearers. Both messages were presented in Jerusalem, with not much time passing between the events. And in both instances, we read that those in their hearing were cut to the heart. So both times, there was a conviction. And the Word of God does that. It cuts to the heart. As we read in the book of Hebrews, "For the Word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit." In other words, it's imperceptible to us. Only God can know it at such a fine point. "And of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." And the very next verse tells us of the realization to which God's truth brings us. "And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give account." There's the rub: accountability. Do not live in denial, for doing so will bring your soul to tragedy. There is more to this life, and there is more than this life. "Let not the word of the Lord to Jerusalem be as unto you, as Isaiah spoke, and in that day the Lord God of hosts called for weeping and for mourning, for baldness and for girding with sackcloth, but instead joy and gladness, slaying oxen and killing sheep, eating meat and drinking wine." Friends, what this country needs is a revival for men and women to get down on their knees and to cry out in earnest to God for divine help, to repent with all their heart, soul, and being. Not for a concert atmosphere and a big party where people are saying, "Peace, peace when there is no peace? The people in Isaiah's day were saying, let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. Don't worry about that stuff. It's okay. God will take care of this another day. We'll settle this another time. But then it was revealed in my hearing by the Lord of hosts. Surely for this iniquity, there will be no atonement for you. Isn't that a frightening thought? Can you imagine the Lord God in heaven coming down and looking you straight in the eye and saying, there will be no atonement for you? Wow. Even to your death, says the Lord God of hosts. Indeed, the children of Israel were in for judgment, spoken of by Isaiah, and that would occur in the days of Manasseh. And even beyond that, when Nebuchadnezzar came upon the scene, in the days of Jehoiakim, and again, when Jesus spoke of it in the days shortly thereafter, his departure. And now, surely, again, the judgment is coming. It is appointed to man once to die, and after this, the judgment. First, physical death, which we will all experience. And second, spiritual death, the second death, which no man need experience. No man in my hearing need to experience the second death. Simply believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. Do not despise the word of God, which cuts to the heart to you this morning. Each of you comes here today with predispositions, certain ideas, certain understandings of how things ought to go and how God does things. Maybe you've been coming here for a while, and so you've got some understanding of things, but perhaps there are things that are still needing clarification. One comes from a fine religious tradition, yet it is only going through the motions and trusting in the past by and bys. How hard it is to get an unsaved man steeped in false and dead religion to Christ. The Pharisees would have none of it from the mouth of Stephen, because they already knew everything. Friends, I got to tell you, in my experience in my ministry, it is much easier to help along, to disciple one who comes here with a blank slate, as it were, no or very little understanding of Christianity, and very little by way of background, than for one who's been brought up in a system, a religious system, but never got saved, and they've got all kinds of junk in there that is unbiblical, that needs to be untaught. But friends, even so, it is possible. Paul, who was called Saul, received the truth, and it ended up costing him all those things in which he trusted, but he was willing to do it anyway. And Paul writes this to the Philippians, from prison no less, for we are the circumcision, who worship God in the Spirit, rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. And basically what was going on there is the Pharisees, the opponents of the gospel, were saying, hey, I was circumcised as a baby, I'm all set. That's what people do today. They say, I was baptized as a baby, and I'm all set. That whole concept of infant baptism was simply something that was carried over, just like the Old Testament priesthood, and misapplied in the New Testament. They missed the whole point that Jesus is our great high priest, and that the baptism is to follow the conversion to Christianity, even as those who were circumcised had to come to John to be baptized again, notwithstanding the fact that they may have been baptized as a rite of Judaism at a prior time. And so the Apostle Paul says, okay, you guys think you're great? Let me give you my resume. Though I also might have confidence in the flesh. If anyone else thinks he may have confidence in the flesh, I more so. Circumcised the eighth day, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, concerning the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, concerning the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed, I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Jesus Christ my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ. How hard it is, friends, for a woman who usurps the role of men and by her example undermines the families. How hard it is for her to humble herself and to obey the word of God. There is nothing more difficult in my experience than to convince a woman who thinks she's a pastorette of the need to humble herself and fulfill God's role and come to Christ. As it is written, let a woman learn in silence with all submission, and I do not permit a woman to teach you to have authority over a man, but to be in silence. Why? For Adam was formed first, then Eve. What of the worldly wise man? Your education will not save you from the wrath to come. You analyze the Bible by the wisdom of man. I know a woman who had a minor in world religions in a very well-esteemed college, who knows nothing of the scriptures or of the power of God, because the Bible was approached from the perspective of academia and not from the heart of faith. You must be born again and then be of childlike faith and then take up your position behind that one that you see yourself to be so much smarter than. Spiritual humility is what I'm talking about, friends. There's none of us greater than another. We all have our part to play in the body of Christ, in the plan of Christ. We all have a purpose, and we all have the same future and the same hope, if indeed we are of the family of Christ. Consider now how many will be enraged the more truth they hear. Can anyone say guilty conscience? Friends, your conscience is a gift from God. We all do well to pay attention to it, lest we be found fighting against the Spirit. When Jesus called to Paul from heaven, he said, it is hard for you to kick against the goads. See, what they used to do was a man would tie up his mule, and he would tie the leg of the mule to the block of wood, which is embedded into the ground or some other structure. And then he'd put a couple of goads, or some translations call it pricks. And it would be just some mild chop things that would be attached to the wood. So the mule wouldn't necessarily hurt himself, but if he tried to get away, he'd go to kick his hind leg, and he'd kick against the goads, and he'd say, ouch. And he would do it again, and he would say, ouch, ouch. And then he would stop doing it, and he would be trained to stay in one place. It's like that with us. Paul had been fighting against the Lord, against the Lord of glory, the Messiah who had come. And that's all he was doing, was he kept on kicking, and it kept on being accounted to him for spiritual injury. Stop fighting, stay put where the Master has placed you. Stop kicking and screaming for a moment and look up to heaven and get that truth, which he wants you to understand this morning. Stephen showed the unbelieving religionists how God's redemptive plan unfolded throughout history, pointing to Jesus of Nazareth, the Messiah, the Christ. And as he did that, the enemies of God got madder and madder. We recall how when God's word to Jeremiah was read in the temple and then in the palace, the king said, get that word out of here. Burn it. Burn the scroll. Because it spoke of righteousness and judgment and not of peace and of winking at sin. In contrast, we see the response of the God who desires all men to come to repentance. We see the response of men as they obeyed Peter's preaching at Pentecost. When they had heard this, they were cut to the heart, and they said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? And then Peter said to them, repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. You shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Note the sequence. Cut to the heart is salvation. Repentance comes with salvation. Salvation without repentance, by the way, friends, is not true salvation at all. That qualifies you for a false confession. And then, obedience. Today, manifesting itself in submission to Christian baptism. And what else with that? Forsake that sin that controls you. Live Christ-like. Live different. Live holy and live set apart for kingdom service. And that this word is not just for the two beautiful ladies who are going to be baptized this morning. This word is for each and every one of us. Let us all listen and take to heart what John the Baptist said. He said to the multitudes that came out to be baptized by him, brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? I always wanted to open up a baptismal service with that verse, but calling the people who came to be baptized a brood of vipers. But I don't think people would take too well to being called snakes. But see, John the Baptist, he had a way with words. I love John the Baptist. Therefore, bear fruits worthy of repentance, and do not begin to say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father. For I say to you that God is able to raise up children to Abraham from these stones. And even now the axe is laid at the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree which does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. And you know what happened here? The people got cut to the heart. You might say they were scared to death. So the people asked him, saying, what shall we do? What shall we do? And he answered, he said to them, he has two tunics. Let him give to him who has none. And he who has food, let him do likewise. In other words, stop hoarding your earthly goods. And then tax collectors also came to be baptized, and they said to him, teacher, what shall we do? And he said to them, collect no more than what is appointed for you. Likewise, the soldiers asked him, saying, what shall we do? So he said to them, do not intimidate anyone or accuse falsely, and be content with your wages. Now, as the people were in expectation and all reason in their hearts about John, whether he was the Christ or not, John answered, saying to all, I indeed baptize you with water, but one mightier than I is coming, whose sandal strap I am not worthy to loose. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly cleanse out his threshing floor and gather the wheat into his barn. But the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire, and with many other exhortations he preached to the people. You know, when I get to heaven, I want to know what all those exhortations were. I'd love to hear the rest of that sermon. I'm sure there'd be some stuff in there that would be really great. Or not so great, if you're not in a repentant state of mind. So here we have a reference to three baptisms. Baptism with water, the outward profession of what's taken place inward. Baptism with the Holy Spirit, and that word baptize simply means an identification with something. An identification or an immersion. So when you're baptized with the Holy Spirit, that means you identify with the third person of the Trinity, that God's done a work in you. And then you got baptism with fire. You don't want that one. We read right here in verse 17, that's judgment. Some people will say, oh, it's the gift of tongues. How do they come up with that conclusion except by twisting the scriptures in the book of Acts, where it doesn't even say that the tongues were fire, it says that they were as of fire, and it also says in 1 Corinthians 12 that only some got the gifts, and in 1 Corinthians 13 that that gift will cease abruptly at a point in time when it's no longer needed. So we're not dealing with tongues. Don't listen to any of that Pentecostal nonsense. Baptism with fire, we got it right here in Luke 3, 16 and 17. That's judgment. We don't want that one. We want the baptism with God the Holy Spirit. We get that in this church age, the moment we're saved. We read through the progression of Acts. By the time we get to Acts chapter 10, that gift of the Holy Spirit comes with salvation. Going into Ephesians chapter 1. So you don't have to worry about that. If you're a saved person, you are identified with God the Holy Spirit. If you're an unsaved person, you're identified with hellfire. That's your identification. So that's how that goes. Okay. Went a little bit off the track here. I wasn't even going to go down that road. But hopefully that was instructive and gives you a fuller understanding of these things. And so what will your response be to the Lord's word, to the Savior who loves you? Will you be cut to the heart and still be hard-hearted and angry? Are you still going to bull ahead with that sin that you've been thinking about doing? Or will you be cut to heart unto salvation, baptism, or repentance? Which? We read that they were cut to the heart and then what? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the salvation that you freely offer by simply believing that Jesus died for our sins and rose from the dead. Lord, we thank you that you have put it in the heart of Karen and Michelle to come forward and to take that step of baptism, to make that public profession of that which has already taken place in the inside. Lord, if there are any here today who have been cut to the heart, who have repented and would like to get baptized this very day at high noon over at Firm Foundation North, Lord, if you have put that thought in anyone's heart, Lord, let it be, bring it to fruition, that they will go ahead and do that even this very morning. We thank you for all of the work that you are doing in our midst. And the joy of this day. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.